download Brad's emails. I don't know why. I love you, Brad, but...
I can't on my phone. Man. I can do it on my desktop, but I can't do it on my phone.
You want to do that? See if you can get to it. I'll try here myself.
My phone doesn't work either.
I'm telling you, if you'll just walk away for
lunch
hour.
Can you plug it into these monitors so everybody will have it? Can you plug it into that line so everybody will have it? Because that's what these monitors are for. Oh.
Okay, I'm working on it.
Do what?
Plug it into these.
No, no, but what is it they're trying to access?
Oh, notes that he sent.
Yeah, which I didn't have time to get permitted today, so I don't know why.
Well, we don't have to approve them.
Yeah, okay.
We can approve them at next
there you
week.
Do you have the email that had the note time?
No. I've got one of them here. I'm working
that's
on.
The agenda.
Okay.
That'll open, I think, the other one. Yeah.
Called, answered.
I could. I've got the... file cannot be opened. Oh, good heavens. Okay. Patty, have you got the procedure with you on opening a meeting and all that?
No, this meeting is just called
me. Okay, fair enough. All right, well, I guess at this time we'll call the meeting to order and everything. I'll ask for a motion to open. All right, second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Meeting's open. I guess we'll start with the tonight's agenda. Thank you for letting me borrow that there. I'm John Lynn. I'm chairman of the Animal Services Advisory Committee. If everybody wants to introduce themselves going around.
I'm Carol Roop.
I'm Patty McDuff.
Catherine Overstreet.
Donna Young.
Mike Marsteller.
And we have Brad Rayfield here with us tonight as well. We've got the what we were going to do is I guess first thing we need to do do we need to go ahead and approve the notes or do you want to have public comment with the?
Well, if anybody's we do public comment normally first.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's where I saw you had listed. Okay. Patty, you know more about the folks than I do. Would you be willing to introduce them?
I'd be happy to. No, they're not under public comment.
Okay.
They're on the agenda.
They're an agenda.
They're on part of the agenda?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're like the only thing on the agenda, basically.
Mm-hmm. That's easier. Okay. Public comment, then. What do we have? Do we have any public comment, anybody that wanted to make any statements on anything or asking questions or whatnot? No? All right, at that point, do we want to approve the notes, approval of the notes and orders from last? Okay.
John, we can do that the next meeting. I know everybody's looked at them, but.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to look at them.
We can delay.
Okay, that's fine.
And I've got it here if somebody, I've got it up on my computer if somebody wants to see it. Do you want to look at these, Donna?
I've got one, thank you.
Okay. And I read them.
I read them, I have a copy.
I'm good with it.
You don't have to see what I quoted you to say.
You better read them.
It would be wise.
Email it to me. Yeah, that's it. JLandAdvantageAuctionServices.com. That'll work. Who hasn't had a chance to read the notes? Are you good? Okay.
Earlier, we just
okay. I'm breezed right through them real quick and everything, and I'm fine with it. All right, so we can go ahead and, if you want, Brad, we'll go ahead and approve the. Do I hear have a motion to approve the meeting notes from the July 9th, 2015 meeting?
I so move.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we'll approve the notes. And that leads us basically to the discussion where we're at here with Unchained of Hendersonville. I'll let you have that back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we've invited Unchained Hendersonville to come to this meeting and present before the committee. I'll let you introduce yourselves.
Okay, thanks, Patty. My name is Valerie Lamoureux. Can you hear me? Am I talking too loud or anything? I'm here with Teresa Kieselewski. And I wanted, first of all, to say thank you to Dr. Joel, but he's not here, right?
Tonight.
Okay, but anyway, he had read a letter I had written and then passed it, or let everybody know that he was interested in us coming down. And I also wanted to say thank you, Patty, for reaching out to us and getting us kind of on the agenda and everything. So to introduce ourselves, Teresa and I have spent the last 7 years advocating for stronger animal cruelty laws, and we've had a focus on the continuous chaining of dogs. So we've had a lot of direct contact with chain dogs, owners of chain dogs, and also with citizens that live in neighborhoods that have chain dogs. So we feel like we're coming from a place of having seen firsthand the condition of a lot of these animals. Our hope is just to renew a discussion here about the current laws in the Henderson County Animal Ordinance and how effective they are in protecting not only dogs, but people. This issue has been brought up in front of the board before, and the last time it was discussed here, I don't think that the new people were here, but there seem to have been three main arguments or statements made against any changes in the ordinance. Those arguments or statements were, number one, that the laws that we have now are adequate. And the second one was that the laws need to benefit or protect the majority of the people. And then the last one was just a statement saying that chaining is not necessarily a default to cruelty. So to address that first statement, which was that our laws are adequate, we believe that we can have adequate laws if they're specific enough that they can be enforceable. We think that a lot of the, and some parts of the ordinance in the animal cruelty section, the language isn't specific enough to make it very enforceable. We think it's hard to enforce. In some cases, it may be almost impossible to enforce. So we just would like to see some parts of that made a little bit more specific. And let me give you some examples of that. And whenever I look at these, I always think about being in the position of being an officer having to go out and enforce some of these ordinances. But our ordinance requires adequate food given at suitable intervals, not exceeding 24 hours, adequate and proper shelter, protection from adverse weather, the area to be kept humanely clean, an adequate and sufficient supply of water, confinement of a female dog during estrus, necessary medical attention, and a chain of suitable length, which is meaning suitable length to enable the dog to get to shelter and food and water. So I've edited that down a lot, so I wasn't going to sit here and read the entire ordinance, but I know that you guys can all get a copy of the ordinance or have one. But to me, with all the words, especially with a shelter, proper and adequate or whatever it was, it's comparable to maybe asking an officer to go out and enforce a speed limit of 35 miles an hour, or asking an officer to go out and enforce a speed limit based on whatever speed might be deemed adequate or appropriate based on individual opinion. So that's all we mean about making the language more specific. And if there's anyone here that feels that our laws are adequate, I would ask them to take a drive down Old Dana Road. If you look at the conditions of a lot of the dogs that are out there, the chained or dogs left in pens, in small pens or small enclosures, you'll see that our laws are definitely not adequate to afford them a basic, you know, quality of life. If you get out of your car, and if you're able to get close enough, you'll see that almost every dog out there is emaciated. You never find them with water. They're matted. They're covered with fleas. And the dogs that are chained, a lot of times have their chains tangled around tree stumps or around their dog houses. And the chained dogs and the pen dogs lay and stand in their own feces. And also, importantly, it's extremely rare to find a male dog that's chained to have been neutered. And so you can assume that none of the females have been spayed, which is kind of a whole other issue because, you know, you have to think about the burden of the shelter. You know, where do all the puppies go? Most of the chained and even the pen dogs are kept far away from the houses. They're back behind sheds, behind garages, where they can be kept, you know, pretty much out of sight, out of mind. When you talk to the owners, they'll tell you that they're used for guard dogs. They're there to protect, alert when people come on the property. Although they, when you go out and talk to the people, the dogs will bark at you, and almost invariably they're disciplined for barking. So, you know, they're shouted at to shut up and stuff. So, like, they're punished for doing their job. They basically live their entire lives being deprived of human interaction or any kind of compassionate human interaction. They don't have social contact with other dogs. They don't receive medical attention. So for them, our laws are not adequate. But I do realize that laws aren't written only to protect dogs. They're written to protect people as well. So on to the second statement that was given, which was that the laws need to benefit the majority of the people. I would just like to give you one example, and I think this example could and probably does represent many of the citizens in Henderson County. In 2013, we were contacted by a woman named Vera Steamy. She lives at 82 Rolling Oaks Drive in Henderson County. In February of 2012, a man moved in next door to her and chained 7 dogs. The dogs were then and are still visible from Vera's front deck and her entire front yard and her front windows. Because of constant barking, Vera wasn't able to get a good night's sleep. She didn't feel she could enjoy her front deck or her front yard during the day, so her quality of life was really diminished. In 2012 and 2013, Vera placed over 70 calls to the Henderson County Sheriff's Department. The only law that was being broken was the noise ordinance. Because the owner felt harassed by all the calls, felt harassed by Vera, but also by the sheriff's deputies that were coming out and by the other neighbors, the dogs were disciplined for barking. Vera saw him put shock collars on the dogs to get them to stop barking, and then she also saw him go to the dogs when they still would try to bark and grab them by their collars and punch them in the heads. She also witnessed no food or water being provided, as far as she could see, for up to 3 days at a time, saw the chains getting tangled, freezing the dogs to the same spot, sometimes for hours or even overnight into the next day. And of course, none of these things happened in front of any sheriff's deputies. When the deputies would go over and talk to the man, he would tell them that, you know, he had just checked on them, their chains must have just gotten tangled, they just ate, they just had water, they must have drank it all, or they've tipped their bowls over. So when they would come over, the officers would come over and talk to Vera, they would tell her that they couldn't really find any laws that were being broken, they couldn't do anything except go and try to talk to the guy, but there wasn't really any legal thing that they could do about the dogs. But Vera has told us that on a lot of different occasions, some of the deputies that have come out there have told her that they wished that there were stronger laws, that they were actually able to do something. They felt bad for the dogs, and they've encouraged her to contact her county commissioners and, you know, make calls and stuff to try to make the laws better. Vera put her house on the market in part to get out of the situation that she's in, but she hasn't been able to sell her house. When potential home buyers come, they can see the dogs, the dog houses, the chains, the yard where the dogs are packed, dirt or mud in the rain, and they can also smell the dogs from anywhere on Vera's property. Her realtor has told her that her property value has greatly decreased, and it's going to remain so, you know, as long as that situation still exists. And I spoke to her in the last week, and she still hasn't been able to sell her house. And another thing worth mentioning at this point is the people in the neighborhood. The school bus stop is on the, Vera lives on Rolling Oaks Drive, and the school bus stop is on the corner of Rolling Oaks Drive and 25. And the parents drive their children to the bus stop in the morning, and they pick them up from the bus stop in the afternoon, all to avoid the kids having to walk past the dogs. Everybody in the neighborhood is terribly afraid of the dogs. On a couple of occasions, one of them has gotten loose and been, you know, at large for a couple of hours. But because that the neighbors know that the dogs are ill-treated, they're totally unsocialized, they're not neutered, and they're afraid of humans. So they, you know, they seem to pose a pretty high risk for attacking or biting a child. But I brought up Vera's story to point out that if we want laws that benefit and protect everyone or the majority of the people, we need to remember people like Vera and also people in her neighborhood and people that live in other neighborhoods where that similar situations are going on. And then lastly, just the third statement, I guess, that was said according to the minutes was that chaining is not a default to cruelty, but just in our experiences going out with the dogs, I would have to totally disagree with that because I think that chaining is really cruel. It's a symptom of cruelty. But we do have a couple of letters here from some of the residents of the county. We didn't really solicit for them, but they wanted us to bring them down and give them to you guys. And we've got a couple of printouts from Dogs Deserve Better about, you know, chaining and tethering. What is it? Is it cruel? And then we also have some testimonials, and these are from different, sheriff's departments, animal control places, and these are from different cities and counties, kind of a sampling of all different populations, too. People or places that have passed really strict animal control, animal cruelty laws, and also strict chaining laws. And these testimonials are really good to look at because when you hear things, people say things like, we don't have the manpower to enforce something like that, it's going to cost a fortune. And also another argument that people say is there's going to be a huge influx of animals turned into the shelter. This answers all those questions. And in the most part, it's totally the opposite that happens. So we just would like to invite a discussion. If you guys want to involve
would you like
us, great.
See some of these letters from the residents. Bring them up.
You know, just some kind of discussion. Maybe if there's any way that the anything in the ordinance can get, you know, have a little more specific language in it, or you know, anything like that where we could make the laws so that they can better protect dogs and people, too.
Do you if I could
speak, I, as John and Donna will remember, maybe Mike, I brought this up in October of 13. And at the time, in reading our notes, and I believe the notes are public record, mm-hmm. are they? Many members said that they do not consider chaining the best option to maintain animals, but realize, as appointed representatives for all citizens, laws should be proposed that represent the populace.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that being one of the issues that a mm-hmm. couple of the members spoke to.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak to that? In fact, to be specific, I remember one member speaking about Henderson County being a rural county, and I think that's the reference to representing the populace.
I do know that, you know, that's one reason I brought up Vera. I think that, first of all, there are big parts of our county that are neighborhoods. You know, she lives out kind of just outside of Mountain Home, and one of the letters here is from one of the people is the Grimesdale area, but those are all county big neighborhoods, and you know, those people are all adversely affected by having dogs in their neighborhoods. And I, you know, I don't really know what to say about somebody that is on a farm or something, you know, 20 miles away from other neighbors. But I do know that there are neighborhoods in our county, and plenty of them in Mills River and you know, Etowah and everything, where there people are really adversely affected by having chain dogs or even pen dogs in their neighborhoods, from the barking, the fear of the dogs, and the dogs are higher bite risks.
I'll ask another question while everybody's reading the material that you provided. Thank you. I think about the question is, if you've had a chance to review the ordinance, would it be your recommendation to have limited chaining as they just passed in Hendersonville, or the absence of chaining, or how do you feel?
Well,
that would be something that the committee would
discuss. You guys can think about that. Some of those testimonials are really good information about that. But those testimonials, I think, are all from areas, communities that have a total ban, like Asheville. And the reason that they have it, the reason they have a total ban as opposed to a time limit, which Hendersonville did, is because the time limits are really hard to enforce. You can't, then you are talking about, you know, we don't have the manpower for this, because you can't have officers sitting outside staking out a house for 12 hours to see if they brought their dog in after 12 hours or, you know, whatever. So, for example, Asheville has a total ban. It's when we talk to the people in Asheville at the Humane Society, it's a well accepted ordinance. It's easily enforced. They haven't really had much trouble enforcing it. Of course, it's in the city. It's not in a rural area. But when people, the only question that, or the main question we heard about things like that was, well, then I can't, you know, tie my dog out. I don't have a fence. I can't tie my dog outside while I mow the lawn or something like that. And, you know, if you do a little, like I called up Asheville and said, what do you do? What do you guys do when somebody calls and the dog has just been outside, you know, for fresh air for a couple hours or this and that? And she said, well, that literally would never happen. And I said, well, why, what do you mean that would never happen? She was like, I felt kind of stupid, you know, like, but she said, well, that would never happen. And if it ever did, our officers are smart. They can clearly see the difference between the dog and the ring of dirt in the dog out on a tether while mom mows the lawn or out for a couple hours. Like, there's a huge difference. You know, the doghouse, the area covered with feces. I mean, there's just an enormous difference.
But if there's a total ban,
right,
is it up to the discretion of the officer?
Well, that's the complaint-driven.
See, that's the thing.
It's a complaint-driven ordinance.
Right.
And that's part of the question that I asked the enforcement people in Asheville. I said, what happens if someone, since it's a complaint-driven ordinance, if somebody calls on their neighbor and their neighbor has just put their dog out for a couple hours of fresh air? Doesn't happen. If it did, the officers would clearly see that's not a lifetime chain dog. They just wouldn't give an issue a ticket.
So the officers, in their discretion, decide whether or not to apply the law in Asheville?
Well, I mean, I just think it's so clear-cut.
Well, you're talking common sense, okay? I get that.
Yeah.
I don't think that is always
well, I don't know, but that's how they do it.
And then they have, you know, they haven't
had trouble with enforcement at all. And they haven't had trouble with people calling, you know, just like, not prank, but, you know, calling and saying somebody's dog's outside and it not really being a problem. They don't get those kind of calls.
You listed obviously a residence on Dana Road or Old Dana Road. I mean, do you have any idea how widespread this problem you think is? Or?
And also, the Old Dana Road is a good one, too, because when you're talking about neighborhood, that's a neighborhood. It's not rural, you know.
Right.
It's very widespread.
There are some places that are worse than others. I mean, Dana Road is a bad one.
But is that one particular residence on Dana Road, or you're implying that the whole road irresponsible?
Loads of residences.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say we really
don't know how widespread you think the problem is.
No. As far as like the percentage of people, I don't really know. I'll tell you, I've lived here 11 years. You know, I work at a place of business that's pretty busy. I don't know one person personally that has a chain dog. So that doesn't mean that they're in the minority, but, you know, from my point of view, it sure seems like they're in the minority, you know.
I think there's, excuse me. And you and I have talked about this, I know, Val, and I think there's a general mindset in this county that it's okay to chain your dog because it's just a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at all the statistics that show that chaining can cause aggression in dogs because mm-hmm. they're not socialized and so forth, and there are mountains
mm-hmm.
of volumes of stuff that's been written about it. And I think a lot of it is an education thing,
mm-hmm.
and some of it is it's resources. I don't mm-hmm. have a fence. And then the argument that, well, it's my guard dog. Well, if he's on a 10-foot chain and I'm 12 feet out, he's not guard can't
right.
help much.
Sure.
And so that just kind of doesn't wash. I mean, it's hard, and I do think that the city ordinance, and we talked about this in the last meeting, let's kind of see how that works. The way, mm-hmm. to me, the way I've read it, it's going to be very difficult
yeah.
to enforce because it's a time limit.
Yep, they shouldn't have done that.
They're going to be sitting out there.
They wanted to do the time limit first to see how that would work, but I mean that's just my opinion that was a mistake because the time limits are really, really hard to enforce.
You don't have the manpower to enforce mm-hmm. that, and if somebody calls and says, my neighbor's had his dog out there for 6 hours,
yeah.
you still have to... Are you going to have a video for 6 hours of the dog? You have to.
Well, and also, with a time limit, all you have to do is, if the police officer goes to a house in the city when this starts being enforced and says, hey, you can't have your dog chained out for only 2 hours every 12 hours, I just put the dog out 5 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the cop, you can't sit there for 2 hours and make, you know, it's super hard to enforce, but...
I agree. That's very difficult, if not impossible,
yeah.
to enforce, and therefore I wouldn't support that.
Yeah.
But right. now, the mere fact of a dog being chained up is not, if it's part of an ordinance, it is not discretionary. Because if you're driving by mm-hmm. in a marked patrol car, we have a duty.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not complaint driven.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So
no,
what
I,
you're saying here
yeah.
is, and what I'm cautioning you about in
yeah.
all of this, is if you make it black and white,
mm-hmm.
then it's black and white.
Yeah.
Don't expect to see any gray. Mm-hmm. Now, if that's going to preclude a lot of people in this county from owning animals because they don't have a leash or they don't have the time or the resources to be outside, that's on y'all in that light. I will say this. These examples,
mm-hmm.
Dana Road, 82 Rollins, everything else, I was actually one of the officers that dealt with the 82 Rolling Oaks
mm-hmm.
Road
mm-hmm.
And Vera
mm-hmm.
on several occasions.
I'm sure she, guys probably think she's a pest.
But the bottom line is they didn't have any laws that if somebody is in violation, we as a group, as an animal enforcement division, by all means take action.
Mm-hmm.
And we take it to the fullest extent.
Yeah.
And in this case, in any one of these cases, you look at this says animal cruelty. Not just because they're on a chain.
Mm-hmm.
And then here I took some notes. The shelter, the water, the suitable length, All these things are neglect, which is a $500 to $250 fine, plus if they don't, I mean, these are all things that people need to pick up the phone and say, this is happening right now, and my officers are going to go out and look at it. And if they are in those conditions, they get charged with the ordinance that's animal neglect.
But can I ask a question about that? So why then did Bear call 70 times and nothing happened? I mean,
because if there's no evidence
of
absolute neglect such as this, I can't make it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, the mere fact that they're chained, if they're chained in a manner that is not neglect, I can't make something up like that. And that's where I go back to, y'all have a decision to make. It's either black or white. No chain, chain. But if there's chain and socialization and all this other stuff that we want to bog down in a law, that is your choice as far as submitting that.
But
my point goes back to, okay, but how many people are going to, you know, it's either black or white. Don't expect my officers to be able to interpolate, well, you know, this one's this and this one's that. No, I agree with you 100%. If it's something where you're going to, if you make the claim that just being chained up in any manner is, in your opinion, neglect or abuse or some form of cruelty, I understand that. Make it so. Make it enforceable. Make it black and white.
Right. Yeah.
But if we don't want to go that far, which I'd caution against that, if you don't want to go that far, then what we have right now, and this kind of does go back to what you were, I know it's probably not something you want to hear, but when you have the old Dana roads and places like that, it would make me very upset and angry to see an animal in these conditions that you're describing and us not doing anything about it because we have the laws in place to do something about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mike took the words right out of my mouth when you were talking about that to begin with, about the animals laying in their own feces and being neglected and stuff. We've already got an ordinance that covers that.
Neglect. And
We take shovels out with us and clean the feces
I've never
out from
any
pick
of
up
that
the phone.
Changing.
Take pictures.
Pick up take
the
pictures.
Phone. Yeah.
Call my officers. Call me. I'm the supervisor and one of them. And like I said, we do answer those calls on a regular basis. And Brad can attest to that.
Mike, have you ever dealt with animal neglect when it has been an animal that has not been chained?
Oh, of course.
You have, okay. Because I see the neglect as tied to...
Well, I've dealt with animal neglect when it's been one of the worst cases that I've seen, not recently, but in the last few years, didn't involve chain. I don't want to get too crazy with it, but it was the people loved animals and had them in their home with them.
Boarding situation.
It was... probably one of the worst cases of hoarding, but we had to charge with neglect. And this person loved the animals. I mean, they actually lived better than the people that were living in the house with them. That was the heartbreaking part
about
it.
The abuse was you can't
take
care of that.
But the truth of the matter is the ammonia and all the different problems that were associated with that condition made it unhealthy for everyone. And so, I mean, that's what I've seen that didn't involve that had just the opposite effect. Same thing with horses, same thing with
horses. But that was bad.
And some of the other ones where they're outside in a penned-in area, going back to the fecal matter issues, where they're walking their own feces and stuff like that, they're not chained up. They actually had quite a large area to be in and had shelter, had water, but their living conditions were such that we were able to charge them with neglect because they didn't have a good, clean place to be. Period, and you photo document that. And
how often are these people able to get their animals back after something like that happens?
Well, that depends. It just depends on the court system. Depends on this, on these hearings.
Well, what about? Sorry, Teresa. So the other issue besides the chaining issue is. One of the things in the ordinance that
shelter
is the shelter, you know, saying adequate or is it appropriate shelter, mm-hmm. something like that. Because we've gone out and seen a lot of times like pieces of plywood leaned up against trees and stuff. We had a dog over here in the county picked up, but it was in Hendersonville that was chained and living inside of a blue plastic barrel.
Yeah, agreed. But now what it means by adequate shelter and why there should be some discretion, because in some cases you have the blue tarp, which isn't adequate in a lot of cases because it's only covering a quarter. They can't get out of the elements. It's rotten mm-hmm. and everything mm-hmm. else. But on the same token, I have gone to a home, and their mobile home was actually the shelter because the dog had to free run to go underneath the home, the whole length of it, because mm-hmm. it was all... Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that a doghouse? No.
No.
But did it suffice for what it needed? I mean, I looked underneath there, and I'm like, wow, this is actually...
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Well, what
is it okay when it's 20 degrees, 15, 10 degrees outside?
Well, the breed could sustain the temperatures that North Carolina had just fine. You get some huskies out here that are protesting wanting snow.
Huh. Well, I've got a chihuahua chained over it.
I mean, I get that. It's the difference if it's a chihuahua or a husky, depending on
the
thing.
The breed could support it, is the bottom line.
And that's what's inferred in the ordinance, is it not, that it has to be an extremity on either hot or cold in order to trigger that part of the statute?
The discretionary portion of our ordinance, as far as adequacy goes, considerations are the breed, the climate, what's happening outside.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a blanket inside? You know, a lot of times the animals we know for a fact are fine outside as long as there's not wind hitting them. So I don't want to just see a tarp and yet the wind mm-hmm. blowing on them. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is there adequate wind barrier? In the case of the mobile home where they're underneath, they had one panel slid out of the underpinning and they had the hole underneath that mobile home with insulation above and everything else.
Yeah,
is it a shelter? No, I mean, well, it's their house, but am I going to gig them on that because...
Right.
No, it's kind of resourceful, in my opinion. And
or if they're poor, they don't have the money or whatever. But what about saying something like adding to the adequate something like three sides and a roof? I mean, that would be covered, what you're talking about, but that would also get rid of dogs in under plywood or under a tarp.
But again, that's fine if you want to make a definable black and white, if you want to take away the discretion. If I have three sides and a roof, an underpinning of a trailer mm-hmm. isn't gonna. It may not fall into that black and white. Does that make sense? That's why we use the discretion.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess I see what you're saying. I guess I'm just getting. I'm so callous about this whole thing that if somebody, you know, didn't have a doghouse or something, I'd just be like, too bad, go buy one.
Beautiful thing. I'll say this and then I'll be quiet.
Yeah.
But the beautiful thing about Henderson County, and I can say this in pride, is the mere fact that we have animal enforcement officers that care, that really do their job.
Yep.
These guys take it serious. I'm proud of them. They're not, and I'll say this, there's areas in the state and other places, not so much. It's not a big priority. They just kind of, you know, whatever, we want to go to the next call. It doesn't have anything to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case. We've got a good, dedicated team.
Well,
so the discretionary of the officer, I'll even say more so than city municipalities, mm-hmm. because they don't have designated animal enforcement officers, mm-hmm. per se. The county does.
But there are a lot of people that live in the county are in the same disadvantage Vera is, and they have to live their life watching a dog being kicked, a dog out in the element, not fed. And the police can't do anything about that.
In the county?
The county can't do anything, yeah.
Well, not being fed, absolutely. That's a neglect.
Well, this has been going on for a long time for her, and it's hard to prove that. Because has anything happened with that case with Vera?
Case in point, some of these animals where you go to that have had, where they're not being fed adequately and everything else, that's part of an investigation. You photo document, and when you get on scene, the things you're looking at, is their water bowl, their food, and then you look at their body, kind of like what Brad and I were talking about, scoring. Mm-hmm. Today, we basically, how many did they get today? Just how many?
Seven.
Because of poor score, and we're going to get professional opinion on that as far as veterinarians go, but they're working it as a case. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, there's a process that we have to go by because mm-hmm. we have rules to play with in, and that's kind of what you're asking about. Mm-hmm. And that's my whole thing. We're not above doing it. And that's kind of going back to what we're talking about here. We have rules that we have to play by. So
if you don't see specific signs of neglect, being malnourished, the body score is poor, you know, they can't say that dog's not being fed, because obviously it is at some point, even though she thinks it's not happening within 3 days.
Yeah, it's alive.
Period.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it might not be healthy or whatever, mm-hmm. but obviously, in their opinion, there's not a neglect issue going on about not being fed mm-hmm. or, you know, the adequate water, things
maybe
like that.
Obvious,
when they go
like
to visit, it's not obvious.
Or something, yeah.
You know, I think if it were a habitual thing, if they've been back a half a dozen times, they would probably see that.
Well, I have to be honest with you. I don't know how many years ago it was, but I placed a call and I said, this dog is in really poor condition and the chain is wrapped, you know, it's tangled. And the officer said, ma'am, I'm sorry, this, the law is written, there's basically nothing I could do unless that dog was dead on the chain. And that was my answer. And if I called in the beginning of this case, they said, just keep calling. Because you don't want a pest. But they suggested, just keep calling.
Think what they're saying is if you're seeing something that an officer can't because they're not there, then call. In other words, don't not report it. Mm-hmm. Please report it.
Right.
And then if there's a repetitive, hey, there's something going on here, we have to make contact with these people and say, listen, we need to fix this. We're getting complaints. They're seeing something that obviously isn't the case right now. What can we do to fix it? And then set them up on some kind of a plan. But it's amazing to me, and I'm just saying, that everything else that in this world is on video. If it's on video, I will say this. If it's on video, and you have pictures of it, and you got a date and time stamped,
pictures
we take all
what?
Kinds of...
Exactly what?
Pictures like Vera situation?
We take... We do enforcement action because we're not omnipresent, and I'm not being smart about that. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying... There's a limited number of us and a lot of things happening, and we ask people to help us.
Mm-hmm.
If they get pictures, date and time stamped mm-hmm. of what's happening, and then it's got to be something that holds up to this committee.
Mm-hmm.
In other words,
if the dog's being kicked, you know, I know she can't stand up with a video camera all the time, but if that's happening habitually, you know, she probably could get that on a date and time and stamp, and then they've got mm-hmm. something to stand by. Say, right here it is.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what you tell me, you know.
And I'll tell you something else too. A very minimal amount of an investment in a webcam that with a cord, yay long, and they come with them where you can take them and do all this.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, she doesn't want to be outed, or she doesn't want to suffer repercussions and everything from a neighbor. But
she's scared of the guy.
But it's nothing to have a camera right there,
yeah,
right there
on
at
your
the window.
And it's
we
looking
might have
at
to buy
it.
Yeah,
camera.
And
you've
and
got it.
Exactly. And you've got it's not like if it's hooked up to a computer and it's recording, you've got your date and time stamp right there from the computer.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a solution to her problem and everything. Maybe she just doesn't realize it or hasn't taken that step. Or
yeah, well, she's older, and I don't know that she has a lot of money, but maybe that's something we could help her out with. Or
yeah, really.
How far from her house to that property?
Well, her house is it's close, but it's kind of her house is kind of up on a hill, and it so her front yard slopes down. The street goes like this. So this guy's it's a trailer. His yard where the dogs are is like directly in front of her, right down the slope. So it's like her view out of all of her windows, her front window. Kitchen window, front deck, front yard.
And I thought you raised an interesting question. And I wonder if there's any way to scope out more of how far spread.
Well, who would do that?
I don't know. I mean, I'd never even really thought of it
question.
Before. But obviously,
it's
if you guys have put so much time and effort into this, if you have trouble convincing people or... getting a response that is desirable, then it might be very beneficial to be able to have more information on that. Total? No. But you obviously went up, pockets of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's a good idea. But then again, back to the officer who said that if it's black and white, we're just, we know it does exist, but do we want it to exist? Do we want to allow,
That's up to you guys.
Because
it could
be 50 million, but if nobody's willing to decide that it's valuable to make a change, the amount of dogs on chains really wouldn't have any, importance in this issue.
Yeah, because I'm with them. There's probably quite a few animals that are tethered, whether it be a chain, cable, rope, you name it.
Are we talking just tethered, or are we talking
about within a county? I'm sure that there's a lot more than just on Dana Road.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But again, we're not talking about neglect. We're talking
no,
about...
No, but that seems to be what they were describing.
I guess that's why I was bringing up the point. It would need our support what they're saying. You don't want a time limit. You don't want things that aren't manageable or enforceable.
Right.
You want either black and white, mm-hmm. either yay or nay.
The county trump the city?
Yep.
They're different.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, so
when it comes to state law, the county can enforce state law in the city limits, but not ordinances.
So if it's in the city limits, it goes by what the city ordinance is, regardless of.
But if the county law is stronger, I think the city is under the county, aren't they?
Different jurisdictions.
Not for ordinance.
Oh.
See, it's like. We can have stricter ordinances in state law.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we can say, even though in the state of North Carolina it's legal to carry a gun concealed,
mm-hmm.
the county can say, no, we're going to pass an ordinance that says you can't.
Right.
All right. Now, that's not against state law, but it's against the Henderson County.
Oh.
Now, the city can say this. Well, we're going to say we're going to pass an ordinance to say you can't have a knife.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no, it's not against state law, it's not against county ordinance, but it happens inside the city. Does that make
mm-hmm.
sense? So, it can be stricter than state and federal, but we can't be more lenient.
Right.
If you had to imagine a county such as ours, if we were to support verbiage in the ordinance whereby chaining was prohibited, what would you see happening with regard to people who currently have their dogs out on chains or tethers or other restrictions?
Well, I think a lot of things would happen. I think that, first of all, people would stop acquiring dogs just as something to acquire, my neighbor, I'll take four of those pups, I can just chain them out and back, or, I think that there would be more forethought maybe into taking in animals if you have to mm-hmm. afford some care for them, and I do think that the chain dogs that are female are a big problem, I think, because we've been out trying to convince people. We've driven dogs to get them spayed and neutered. People don't care. They'll say, it doesn't matter. We'd like to see the pups, and we just take them to the shelter. They don't mm-hmm. care. Chaining, if you eliminated chaining and had to have dogs behind fences, you're not saying they can't have a dog. You're just saying it needs to be in an enclosure, a safe enclosure. You're going to cut down on all those... Unless you're going to pass a mandatory spay-neuter laws.
And it also would improve people or felons who do have dogs that are there to bark to alert them to, the
drugs and...
Yeah. If there's people on ground or if police or sheriff's coming, bark.
The reason I asked, just to put it in perspective on how far-reaching it is,
mm-hmm.
is because obviously there must be a, well, I say obviously, I don't know, and I'm relatively new to the area, But from what I've heard, a large number of people who are opposed to unchaining or not tethering. Is that not right? I mean, otherwise I would think that this would have...
Oh, no. Everybody I talk to is for it, to be honest. I mean, the only people I've ever heard
Vera's
that...
neighbors aren't.
No, her one neighbor in the entire neighborhood, believe
me. Right, but I don't know.
But that guy, I mean, it doesn't matter. This is just one example, but he is a convicted felon. You know, I mean, Vera's terrified of
him. And the neighborhood is held hostage.
He's kind of got the whole neighborhood over there scared of him.
Well, but it's like Catherine said, you know, the attitude you run into here, and I've run into it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course I can chain it. It's just a dog.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. If you knew how far reach, and I don't know that it would be worth the effort.
I don't know. I know
think
that
a generalization, though, you're making about this county. And that
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I take a little offense to that because if I took a poll of all of us
on
sitting at this table, do you know anyone that chained the dog?
I don't.
Do any of your neighbors, friends, acquaintances?
I've seen it, yeah.
Okay, but not necessarily in your realm of friends.
Right. Okay. Oh, my friends?
I mean, yes, I drive by and see people, but, you know, we all probably can sit at this table and say we probably don't know anyone of our personal, specifically, that does this. So,
I know,
but making a generalization about a county as a whole.
It's an attitude I've heard.
No, it wasn't a generalization. I'm just saying this is one of the things I have heard. And I would think that if it's not, if people weren't opposed to it, then would we have it?
I think that's just a problem of people don't speak up. I know when we had a petition, gosh, this has been like 7 or 8 years ago, but that we took to the city, we got in the business where I work, we get like 5,000 signatures. Mm-hmm. I think I had two people say to me, oh, I don't want to sign that. That's dog somebody's property. You can't tell them what to do. I think two people. Everybody else was like, oh, my God, I want to sign that. Are you going to take it to city council? Like, they were all, you know, I totally don't think that. I think there's plenty of...
It took a long time to get the city to do their... I mean, I know the people that worked for years to get that ordinance passed, and it wasn't last year. It was years.
No, we worked on it for 8 years.
Well, I think times are changing. The population is growing.
Mm-hmm.
The awareness is growing, and the demand for this is growing.
Mm-hmm.
But let's be real, though. We've got an ordinance. It took you years to get an ordinance passed that is unenforceable.
Well, right, that's not what we didn't ask for that. We wanted a ban, you know, which is enforceible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted
it. They want
to
try
to
this.
Do something, it's got to be black and white.
That's what I'm saying. You can't do it halfway.
Yeah.
It has to be one or the other, and I think it's taken a huge step, taking a lot of options away from a lot of people, potentially. And you know what? A lot of people may not even want to tether a dog. I get that. But then again, you're taking away the option for those that may. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know.
Right. I mean, there are
responsible
people
that it's
out there, I think.
Right.
What I am saying is it does have to be black and white.
Yeah.
Either you can drive by and see one on a beautiful, nicely manicured lawn and tethered just perfectly with bungee and no way of ever having an ability to hurt the animal. And no, that's illegal. See my point.
Well, what about
you can't sit there and say it's got to be discretion or it can only be for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I say that. That wouldn't get my vote. You know what I mean? It'd have to be one or the other.
Yeah.
Because that way it's important.
Well, two things about the dog on the nicely manicured lawn. First, that probably would have not been, you probably would not have been alerted to this as a result of phone calls.
Well, that, see, but that doesn't matter.
If the law is in effect, they have to go and say, you can't do this. No
right.
They
drop by,
exactly
yeah, they drop by and see
that's
yeah.
why
yeah.
I say, you don't
do
make it a,
well, how's it work in Asheville, then?
A law that's just
complaint-driven,
per se,
mm-hmm.
not when you've got a purpose behind it.
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying.
I do too. But two, remember, it's not so, you know, dire as nobody wants to go take people's dogs away or anything like that. I mean, nobody would be saying if you've got a chain dog, you're going to take your dog away, you can't have a dog. It's just like make some provisions for it.
What we do have is a leash law in the county, which is unusual for a county. Mm-hmm. But we do have that, and it's been in place for, well, since 2007 or 8, and it's been effective. I'm actually surprised and happy with the leash law in the county. And you get some strange looks. Way, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Girton, Bat Cave. You know, you get up there and you got 20 and 30 acres up there and the dog's off from the property. Well, they don't understand property lines. Mm-hmm. But they get a ticket because their dog's over on the neighbor's property. Their neighbor's property is 60 acres, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking about close neighbors here, but it's still against the law. And we still inform them, it doesn't matter. They get a citation for that. That's even palatable. They understand that. They
mm-hmm.
get it.
Mm-hmm.
And they fix it. So like I say, with this, you gotta take everything in consideration before you go and make that a blanket rule. And I would just caution that, because there's no, you don't want to get into the gray. You want to make it one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know the city ordinance goes into effect January 1st?
Mm-hmm.
Or in January at some point. And the Blue Ridge Humane Society is supposed to be assisting people building fences.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know, does anybody know, Brad, whether that has been, people are calling, people are asking about it?
I talked to Erin the other day, and she said that they've only had a smattering of phone calls. She thinks that they're going to get a lot more once the law goes into effect, which is January 1st, because then when people call, the police will be able to go and tell the people it's against the law. I think a lot of people don't know. And so they think that's when they're going to be starting to get their calls for fences.
And is there enough, do they have the
resources?
Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. Resources to
be
able to do this?
Yeah, they've assured us that they do. Yeah.
Who has the resources?
That's a lot of money.
Blue Ridge.
A lot of money.
Sure. Do you really have the resources?
Unlimited resources.
Well, they've done it in Nashville.
Yeah.
They have raised the...
Yeah, they have raised all that money, yeah.
They've raised the
money. Yeah, but we're not talking Nashville or Henderson. We're talking Henderson County.
Plus 1,000 people. I mean, not all of those are going to need fencing and whatever, but we're talking a huge population.
I'm on the board of the Blue Ridge Humane Society. I know that we've discussed this, and they've even went out and estimated how many dollars are on change that this would affect. And there is money available to assist
mm-hmm.
those animals. So.
Mm-hmm.
What about penning?
And then what qualifies somebody for assistance?
Well, that was the question I posed, and the people go, if somebody goes and gets a dog, mm-hmm. do they then call us and say, hey, can y'all come build me a fence? I just got a new dog. That wouldn't sit well with me.
So. Well, you could maybe use the same qualifications that have to be used for free
right.
spay and neuter in those situations.
Right. And we had discussed that, and I can't recall what the final criteria was. So.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion.
There's one letter where a woman in Grimesdale has a neighbor
is
penned. The dog barks incessantly. Do you have any suggestions about size? What is cruel and what isn't to keep a dog penned for 24/7?
Tracy, can you talk into the microphone?
I'm talking about penning a dog and the size of the cage that it's in for 24/7. Is there anything in the animal ordinance that would be able to be improved for the condition that animal is kept?
Yeah, but maybe dog come under neglect.
It's not a dimensional. It's not spelled out dimensionally.
Right.
Now, it goes back to officer discretion.
Mm-hmm.
Do you trust the officer's discretion on what's neglect or not? I mean, and I'm not saying you. I'm just saying in general. And I'm not trying to advocate for
what is
blanket. But if I make it a 10 by 10, if somebody's got a 5 by 5, I have to violate them.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? And it may be a 5 by 5 for 10 minutes. See what I mean? Or they could have a 25 by 25 that isn't sufficient if it's all the time and not cleaned out.
Mm-hmm.
We have to just be
I don't know. I think it might be a good place to start, though, just with space requirement, you know, per dog or something like that.
I just caution. I caution parameters that put you in a box that you have to enforce or not enforce. When you can use discretion and match it to, if you have a solid abuse, you know, neglect definition, you're pretty good. If you don't, if you have a weak definition of neglect, not so much. Animal cruelty and everything else is state law. That's spelled out. What isn't covered there or is a little less strict, if you will, or more strict, is covered under a neglect ordinance. Carries a lesser fine. But it's still punishable and still something that we can do. It's an action that we can take.
And there's also the noise ordinance. Yeah. I mean, I've called the sheriff's office a number of times with regard to barking. And, you know.
Vera tried. I'm just keep talking about Vera, but right now she's trying to get something done to help the dogs just by trying to get the. She's working with the zoning department, I think. Like, it's a bad situation. I'm not saying it's a typical situation by any means, but there's rats over there now, and they're going in and out of the dog houses, and she's trying to get them on a zoning violations. But I don't know if that's going to, how she's going to be able to help the dogs.
You know, looking at this from another situation, and I'm just, or another angle here, you were talking about quality of life and all that other stuff, her quality of life's gone down here. You know, the one words that y'all said about her situation that struck a chord with me is the fact that her property value has been decreased because of it. Now, I'm a real estate broker, and amongst other things. But part of what I do is I understand how this works as far as, you know, your property value going down because of something happening next door. There's actually state law that she could take that up under. Okay? There's actually state law that she could take up the devaluing of her property because of the actions of her neighbor and what her neighbors put out there. That's something that I would suggest that contact an attorney about, because there's state law in North Carolina that covers that.
Resources, just like somebody who's training a dog doesn't have the financial resources. So who's to bear the burden? You know,
but there's a lot of that going on. There'll be a lot more going on if they don't have the financial resources for a pen. You know, and I see what you mean.
Yeah,
I truly do.
It's half a dozen of you know.
Yes.
Easy place to start. North Carolina Real Estate Commission. Call them up. There's people there. I know several people down in Raleigh that can either, if they don't have an answer to a question like that, they may be able to direct them to someone who can help them, and they may be able to direct them to someone who will help them pro bono for this, seeing as they might not have the income or they just need the assistance or whatnot.
Yeah.
I would go that route. That's a different angle I thought of that from.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's on Social Security, so I don't know if she would. And she's not married, so.
Simple phone call. I mean, doesn't cost nothing to just call and ask. And the people down there, they've been as helpful every time I've ever needed something from them. They're right there to help, and they're very helpful. They'll at least possibly give her a contact or point her in the right direction, someone to talk to. That could solve that little. That's the little narrow window that you're dealing with her and everything.
Yeah.
And I understand that. You should, you know, if you buy property, you should have the good general free use of your property and enjoyment of your property. And if a neighbor is doing something that's taken away from that, then, you know, there's things that can be done with that.
I wonder if they could do anything about, like, would it just be suing him, do you think? Or because he doesn't have any money.
I don't have an answer to that question. There would be there would have to be some type of civil action taken against them.
See, I mean, this.
But sometimes the county or the state will do it on their behalf, just depending on the situation. That's why I'm saying call them, because they know.
I just think this is such a weird situation though too, because Vera's got really scared of the guy, and she's scared to call the sheriff's department anymore because he comes out and calls her all kinds of scary names and says he's going to come beat her ass and stuff, and she's scared of him. So I feel so sorry for her.
Communicating verbal threat there. That's criminal
at
that point.
Yeah.
Tape recorder, click. I'm going to beat your ass. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me call 911. Yeah, on tape. Simple. There's a lot of little things that she could do to help herself in that.
Well, I know that we've kept you much longer than you probably expected, and I don't know if anybody else has any questions. I guess I just want to say one thing, and I don't know if the thought of the committee is to discuss this further at our next meeting or, you know, what your thoughts are, but I've heard a lot of talk about people and, you know, whether it be Vera or the, I just don't want to lose sight of the animals.
Right.
And what they have to deal with. And, you know, the intact female that, you know, is chained. And I guess, you know, again, I think we probably, you know, don't want to talk any more about this tonight. That's why we can as a committee, but I guess I'm wondering about the time.
What we had talked about at this point is we wanted to hear presentation. We wanted to have time to talk about it amongst us here in, well, obviously on record, but informally, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then what we were going to do at this point forward, I think we talked about, I'll contact the Board of Commissioners and ask them, okay, you know, we heard from Unchained, and, you know, do you guys have any, is there any concern? Do you guys want us to look into this? Is this something you would like us to address, yay or nay? And if they do, then we would come back and then put it on the agenda. We would address it later. If they don't, then it's at the point to where we wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't address it because, of, you know, they're not interested in doing anything about it at this time.
Yeah. Well, at least, you know, it was just trying to keep the conversation going and keep the issue, you know, in people's minds.
I'll tell you something else, too. Just one little thing about me, and I know I probably made a wonderful impression on Mike the first time he and I ever met, because I sat right next to him over here, and it was the first meeting I was at, and he said something. He brought up the words, officer discretion, and I'm a black and white kind of guy myself. I always have been. And he said, officer, that's at a point you have to trust the officers, you know, to do whatever. I think the words I used was, well, I really don't trust the police to do whatever. And I probably made a wonderful impression on him at the time. But I've been on the committee, 3 years now? And we've been on it 3 years now. And I'll be straight up with you. My attitude and my opinion about that, I can honestly say it's changed in 3 years because these guys do such a good job. And they really, it's like Mike said, the officers, I haven't met one yet that doesn't have a serious personal concern over animal welfare in this county. Every one of them. Now, I can't say that for the city, okay? I've met one or two with the city that, shaky ground, but I haven't met anybody yet with the county who works in animal enforcement that, you know, doesn't have animals at heart, and trying to make that balance.
That's so good to hear.
And like I say, boy, when you talk about a skeptical, not a pessimist, not only is my glass half empty, somebody stole the first half, okay? And then that's that. I'm never disappointed, though, okay? That's, I can say that much. But I'll say in 3 years from being on the committee and working with Brad and working with Mike and the other deputies that are with animal control, I can honestly say I've changed my mind about officer discretion, and they do a very good job of it. And at this point, you know, with my experience with them, I would trust their discretion on something.
How many are there that go out on animal control calls?
Six.
The same six all the time?
Are we done?
We're done with you.
Thank you very much for coming out.
Thanks so much for having us.
Absolutely.
We really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Are we going to be locked in here?
No, you can go out. You just can't come back.
Oh, I get it.
Actually, you can come back. I have to lock the door.
You're welcome. Something before we adjourn.
Sure. Okay. We're done with that part of it, and I don't think we didn't have anything else on the agenda. I don't think. Go ahead and bring up whatever you were wanting to bring up.
Okay. I think as a committee, we have to look at and I hope I can find it. I did have it marked, so bear with me for just one moment. I think I had it marked, and now I don't. Well, I'm going to speak off the top of my head. And Brad confirmed this recollection. As part of the bylaws of the committee, if you miss more than 25%, and again, I will find, I did mark it, and I think I moved my paper, and that's why, but it is part of it, and we have
two members. Yep.
One of them, you know, Dr. Hargis has been my doctor for 10 years. You know, I mean, our dog's doctor.
Anybody
for
knows
10 years.
Her schedule.
So, yes, wow. Exactly. And so I'm not as keen on pushing that issue with about Dr. Hargis.
Right.
I don't know Mr. Varble. I mean, I certainly, you know, anybody can have emergencies come up. I asked Brad. He didn't know the situation with him, so it's not like he's made arrangements. I wonder about his interest in the committee, but that would be for the committee to decide how to proceed. And in the meantime, I will try to find
what bylaws.
No, we do.
Do have
you,
bylaws.
You have if you miss more than 25% of the meetings in an annual.
Okay.
I mean, we only meet four. Exactly.
Four times.
Right.
We meet four
times.
That's
the issue.
Missing one.
No, missing two.
Two.
Well,
you
can
miss
one.
Two is 50.
Yep.
More than 25.
So you can miss one out of four meetings during a year and everything, but, I mean, they both missed a couple of meetings over the year.
I don't think I have a plan.
I can send something to you.
Well, I mean, just if they're, I mean, you know ahead of time when they're going to
3 months, 3 months in advance. Yeah.
Well, but, and I do say in Beverly's defense, you know, she gets called out and you don't know that somebody's going to call about a horse that's colicking and you've got to go right then as opposed to say, well, I got a meeting at 5:30. Sorry, I can't make it. You know, and someone, that is her.
No, and that's certainly
her job.
That's more important.
Yeah.
They've been on the board that were able to, but not quite as active as she is.
Yeah. I mean, small bit, mobile, you know, where you have office hours where people come to you, but she is so mobile. And, I mean,
the bylaws, I did find it. Any member missing 25% of meetings in a calendar year. It says missing 25%.
Okay.
One.
Which is one.
One. Will be asked to resign or reported to the Board of Commissioners to be replaced.
Probably just report rather than ask anybody to resign.
Okay.
That would be my, if you've got a choice.
Well, and again, it would be the committee's decision.
Or give them the option. Maybe.
Yeah. And the reason why I bring it up is if there's not the interest there, I know there were other people who applied for the position.
Right.
And people who have an interest.
If given the choice, because they are appointed by the board, I'd probably just notify them. This is just me now. You guys can overrule me. I would notify and just let them go and do what they're going
to
do.
And y'all don't have a copy of the bylaws?
No, I didn't. Do you have
it? I don't think so.
It's online. That's where I've...
Yeah, that's what I thought. But
yeah.
Okay, well, I can certainly get
that. At the same point, I don't know that James would have or know about them or Beverly.
Okay.
But have they called or just not shown up or...
Last time they at least notified, they said that they got tied up or something because they were both together. I think James helps her sometimes. I don't know.
So they're two vets, is that?
No, he's not a vet. He works for the...
He's the Department of Agriculture, doesn't he?
Yeah, he works somehow for the Department of Agriculture. I can't remember exactly what he does, but I think he
weights
helps
and measures.
Yeah, that was
he worked with the weight and measures.
Weights and measures,
scale
scale.
But,
let's see, if I had missed one, I wouldn't know.
I thought it was more than one.
I did too.
I didn't even know there were bylaws.
Not
that
written correctly. I'm never sure.
I'd like to see that say more than 20.
Two meetings within a year. Like one was allowed.
Yeah, 25%, or it's
exceeded 25%.
Exceed 25%. So that would just mean if you miss two, you've exceeded.
Yeah.
And that does not count, of course, the appeals. So
what?
The appeals.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's the regular meetings. So, and my opinion on that, nobody's asked my opinion. I'm not supposed to, but
what's your opinion here, Brad?
But to me, you know, we had one member years ago that her son had football. Well, that's understandable to miss, but
if that's part of your life, this isn't.
Right.
You've got
it's
to
overcommitting.
Make, if you're either going to make time for this or not. It's nothing personal. It's just where your priorities are.
And what? How did you guys address it? Did you address it as? Or did they address it as a board, or did they let
the
county commission?
Her off. The board voted her off.
Okay.
Or that person off. Yeah, the board voted.
You got voted off the island.
Off the island.
Is that what you're saying?
I knew we were going there.
They have her off.
Sorry.
So.
But I would support what Mike said, and just, and I don't know if it's Fred or if it's John, who would approach. And again, I'm not as keen on approaching Dr. Harvest. You know.
Yeah.
And I hope that doesn't show any prejudice.
I think maybe.
But I think Mr.
Well,
there's
some situations that are more comfortable than others.
Well, I think they need to understand.
What you could do is send out the bylaws and say, please note that the attendance
right, and not go any further at this point, but just so they do have a copy of it and are aware. Like you said, you would not have, if you were not aware that this was the situation.
No, I wouldn't know there were bylaws either. And but again, if your employment or your job, and I understand that it's more important, then maybe this is not something that you need to be doing at this time.
Right. But I think you need to be aware.
You need
but
to be aware.
And if we still have this
rule.
Problem,
sure.
Obviously, from going forward, then that.
Yeah.
I can't see anyone really applying to sit here and not really want to do it, you know?
Yes.
So
yes.
And it's easy to overcommit, but.
Yes.
Well, as you mentioned, it's not like we meet once a month or there's
a
huge obligation.
And you know it's, what is the third Thursday or whatever
you know
it is.
What day it is.
You can look at your calendar and put it in there. And, yes,
right.
Emergencies arise and things like that.
I keep kicking you not your purse.
But it's pretty easy to know this is on your
When's the next meeting?
Yes.
January. Yeah.
14th. It's late in the month.
Does... Well, I guess at this point I'll ask, does anyone else have anything they'd like to add or comment or anything? Anybody?
Well, I guess are we in agreement, John, if you would, you know, if you have email addresses for these folks, just to...
Yeah, I've got all the contact info.
Catch.
I'll send something
just
to them.
You
know something else I may do, too? I'll learn. What I may do is just, instead of sending it just to those two,
I may send it
to the whole committee.
That's great.
And if I do that, the whole committee, I'm not singling anybody
out. We have several new members that...
Right. It's come to our attention.
Be a manager for UPS Freight, okay? It's called diplomacy, Mike, okay?
That's great.
Yeah. No, I think that's a perfect answer.
It is very good.
I do, too.
Yeah, they still didn't like me there. So, anyway.
No, that's good. I'm very diplomatic. I move to adjourn.
All right, we have a motion to adjourn the meeting. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank